Then you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Literally, it was yes, yes, no, no. Just emphasizing how important that is. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So we focus on those words today. Coming home from work one day, a woman stopped by her local butcher and asked for a chicken. Well, the butcher reached around into his barrel and grabbed a chicken and slung it on the weigh scale and presented it to her, and she looked at it and she said, well, do you have anything a little bigger? So he took the chicken down, put it back in the barrel. It was his last chicken. So he kind of scrabbled around there like he was looking for another chicken and came up with the same one. Put that on the scale, said it was a pound more. And she again weighed her meal and she said, well, I'll take them both. Honesty usually is the best policy. But in our world, dishonesty seems to be taking over. Even what news channel do you listen to? One commentator said he had Fox and CNN reporting the same story, but they sounded totally different. In fact, we hear now about fake news or alternate truth. In 2016, the Oxford Dictionary coined the phrase for 2016. It was the word of the year, and it was this: post-truth. Like post-Christian, post-truth. And then shortly after that, Time magazine had on its front cover, is truth dead? Well, we do live in a world that's increasingly shading the truth or giving alternate truths to people. You know, if you look back, people used to shake on a deal, sometimes worth millions. And a handshake was as good as your word, and your word was as good as that handshake. But we're getting back to those times that were the times like our Lord's times. Times when you couldn't trust people's words. You couldn't trust a Greek or a Roman to be honest with you. But sad to say, you couldn't even trust one of God's people to be honest with you. That was the kind of world Jesus faced. And so to understand what he tells us this morning, we should look first of all at the original reason that God said, don't swear. The original goal of swearing, first of all, was to maintain the truth. God's people came out of Egypt. They came out of a culture where people did not speak honestly. In fact, some years ago when I was just in seminary, I had the privilege of going to work in Jordan, in Palestine. And we found that if you were invited to something and you couldn't make it, you shouldn't say no. Even if you said thank you, no. What you should say is, yes, I'll be there, with no intention of going. But that was the polite thing to do. So you never know how many people are going to show up at a shower, you know, because everyone is coming. But not everyone is coming. And so, when God spoke to his people, he said to them, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. And so God was taking his people into preschool and telling them exactly what not to do and what to do. And so to help them teach the truth, he tied his name to it. And you won't find that in just one verse, but you can go through Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, and find places where God says, when you make promises, do them in my name. And when you make a promise, then keep it, because my name is attached to it. And when you pledge to do something, use my name so that you'll do it. And therefore, to use God's name in vain, to speak falsely, would be to not only hurt your neighbor, but also disparage the name of your God. Now, that was the goal of not swearing. But by the time Jesus came, we see where swearing went wrong. The moral superstars of that day, the Pharisees, were the advisors in morality. But they realized that it was hard for people to keep the truth. And they didn't always keep their promises. So they kind of finessed God's law, and they said, if you don't use God's name and swear by something else, it's okay. It's fine. You may keep your promise, you may not, but no problem. So if you were calling, or if you were selling wheat in Jerusalem, you would say, I swear by the throne of God in heaven, or I swear by the cedars of Lebanon that this is the finest wheat in all Jerusalem, when it was full of chaff. Or you might say to those who might not trust you, I swear by the temple and its walls that what I'm telling you is the truth. And if you hadn't yet made your pledge to the relief fund that was being collected, you might tell the elder, even though it wasn't true, by the walls of Jerusalem, the check is in the mail. And so you kind of understood that saying, because it wasn't in God's name, wasn't binding, and the person listening to you would feel the very same way. But it got crazier than that. And Jesus reflects on that in Matthew 23. There. If I would read that with you, Jesus really gets on the people there. And so he says, woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by anyone who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. And so it was that Jesus now says in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, whether you swear by something on earth or something in heaven, it all belongs to God. whether you swear by the temple or its gold. Again, it's all dedicated to God. And again, he says, it may sound good for you to swear by your head, but your head too belongs to God. And only God can turn black to gray, and only God can keep your roots black. And so, watch what you say, because whatever you use can be used rightly or wrongly, because everything belongs to me. And yet, if we look at our language, we probably don't use God's name. We may just simply exaggerate sometimes. We might say, honestly, you've got to believe me. I'll swear on a stack of Bibles that this is true. But sometimes, I don't know if you see that, but if you exaggerate, you know, you tell a small lie, so when you're late for work or maybe home late, or you might exaggerate a little bit with a medium lie when you can get credit or get blame and avoid the blame. And you might even be tempted to tell a large size lie when you might want to blame somebody else so that you don't lose your job or that you don't lose the trust of the spouse who's waiting for you at home. And so there is that temptation to exaggerate. Hopefully we don't give in to that temptation. But that's our human dilemma. We have to step back and listen to ourselves and ask why we say what we do when we say it. The essence of swearing, beyond misusing God's name, is that we build ourselves up with our words, but often as we build ourselves up, we tear others down. Someone has said, and said it well, the strongness of swearing lies deeper than simply keeping a promise to God. We are making use of people, trying to bypass their understanding and judgment to trigger their will and possess them for our purposes. Whatever consent they give to us will be uninformed because we have short-circuited their understanding of what is going on. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is what is done in our speaking is to be done very simply and very clearly. And it starts out by not swearing at all, says Jesus. Just don't swear. Don't exaggerate. Don't feel you have to emphasize the point. Your word should be good enough. Now, when Jesus says don't swear, realize that he's not talking about public swearing. If you went into the military, you may have had to swear an oath to pledge allegiance to our country. And if you ever have to be in a court case, when you stand up in a court of law, then you swear an oath. Jesus did that under trial. He swore under oath that he was indeed the Christ. And Paul and the other Christians, when they stood before a court of law, they too would not hesitate to swear in God's name, as Paul put it once in Romans 1:9. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness now constantly that I remember you. And then even God himself swore a number of times by his own name to help people trust him, to believe in him. And because they could, because God doesn't lie. And yet, Jesus is talking here about private swearing. And he says there's really no need for any of that. We don't have to do that. And so Jesus goes on to say, just let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything else comes of evil. Just as his little brother James would later say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let it just be, let your yes mean yes and let your no mean no. Once you become a follower of Jesus Christ, once you become one of his apprentices, then you can indeed not only speak the truth, but he'll give you the strength to speak the truth. Whatever you say, whether it's at school or whether it's at home or on the job or on your phone or in the car, what you say is you should see that as if you were in a court of law and in danger of perjury if you didn't tell the truth. There was a day when a Christian's word was as good as a contract, as good as signing on the dotted line. And I think the cure for a lot of our dishonesty in our world is to be that kind of person. Now, that's not easy. I ran across a story of a guy down south. His name was Gaynell Dahl. And he had a boat trailer he wanted to sell. But it was a dead of winter. But he put it online, and he got a buyer. And the buyer was going to pay the price that he was asking. But he had only one request. And that one request was that he say that he was only selling it for half the price. This guy would pay the full price, but he said, if you say on your bill of sale it was only this much, then you'll save me a couple $100 in taxes. I don't know if you've ever had an offer like that. I've had that offer too when I was selling an old car. But he knew what he had to do. That was obvious. But he still had that inner struggle. If I say no, I can't do that. I might lose my sale. But if I say yes, I'm going to be denying my Savior. And so he said, no, I can't sell it for that price. Or I can't list it for that price. And the guy bought it anyway. And so he was thankful for that, but even more thankful that he hadn't denied his Savior. And this guy probably learned a lesson in integrity. Because what he did say to this guy, he said, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. And therefore I can't fudge on this bill of sale. So as in the case of that boat and the trailer and selling that, you really aren't just dealing with cold facts when you're speaking to someone or selling something. You're dealing with another human being. And you can either hurt them or help them. You can either teach this gentleman about integrity or teach him that integrity doesn't count. You can keep doing these things. Truth-telling is hard because you have to push yourself back again and think of the other person. You know, it's even hard to tell the truth when you're not having a good day. You know, most of the time if we're feeling rotten or down and somebody at school or at work asks us how we're doing, we say, fine. No, we don't have to say, you know, the day is horrible, I didn't sleep all night. And usually we say fine because we figure people don't want to hear about our problems. But maybe we could just temper it a little bit and say, I'm okay, but things could be better. Okay, someone just walks on. But they might catch that it isn't a very good day for you. And they might say, well, tell me more. And as you tell them more, and they truly listen, you're going to feel a whole lot better because someone is bearing the burden with you. But it's hard to be honest, even when we need someone else's help. So, words can kill, words can heal. And that's why Jesus says, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Because when you don't say yes and stop, and don't say no and stop, you may say more than you wanted to say, and you wind up misusing the truth to your own advantage. And so Jesus says, just let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Be clear. Help people know where you stand. And I think it comes especially in the area of keeping promises. My wife taught me a lot about keeping promises. And I'm not going to say too much about the details on that because I didn't clear it with her. But in my family, we had a six-month limit for keeping promises. If my dad said to my mom, he was a carpenter, I'm going to fix this, she probably had to wait, you know, 6 months or till company came. In Diane's home, a promise was kept as soon as possible. So when we got married, I had this idea that promises kind of had a six-month window or more, and she didn't. And it soon became apparent that promises were important to her. And I found out that flowers and taking your wife out isn't enough. In fact, one night she sat me down and said, you know, when you don't keep your promises, I wonder whether you love me. Well, I bring you flowers and I want to take you out. Isn't that good enough? No. Promises are important. And let alone being important to the person you love and being important to God. But promises really are the fabric that keep our lives together and keep our marriages together and keep our nation together. And that's why we're in such a turmoil right now. And it's all about truth and honesty. And so it is that we are confronted with the challenge of speaking the truth. And yet, as you know, speaking the truth can be extremely harsh. And it can be extremely harsh unless we follow Jesus' apprentice, Paul, and what he tells us about truth. In Ephesians 4:15, he said, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. Speaking the truth, yes, but always in love, always thinking of, and thinking of what our Savior wants for that other person as well as for us. Paul goes on in verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And unwholesome talk is more like gossip than it is profanity. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Speaking the truth in love, that is the key. That's the filter. That will always make the difference. There was a day when people's words followed by a handshake, were as good as a contract. In the 30s, million-dollar oil deals were made. I ran across this story from the, just an anecdote from the Petroleum Club, where a lot of money was exchanged over steak in Dallas. This was in 1934. One of these big oil guys said, it was just a place, this one petroleum club, it was just a place to get a good lunch and a million-dollar deal. Mr. Murchison, who was a big oil guy and ranch guy, he said, we trade, make a deal, and let the paperwork catch up with us. Wouldn't that be great if that was all it took? Rather than sheafs of paper to promise that we'll get what we're offered and that we'll pay what we promise? Well, it can start again with us. That's the way it began with the Christians. Christians living in an untruthful age spoke the truth, died for the truth, and eventually the truth conquered Western Europe. And the Reformation was a huge push again to bring truth into every area of life. And still, up until a few years ago, you could buy a car with a handshake. I did that only a year ago. But the point is, let it begin with us. The devil is the father of lies. But if we go out into our world as if we were on a beachhead for God, we can go holding the truth, and we can send the devil running from those beaches and retake this world that belongs to God. Let's pray together.